What's up, heroes? Welcome to episode 56 of the Producer Life Podcast. Today is part two of my interview with Danny Felt, a Philadelphia-born singer-songwriter and founder of Music Industry Mastery. Danny is an artist empowerment coach, merging musician coaching with creative consulting. Her business helps artists with making more money, music sync licensing, artist development, music promotion, creating animated music videos, music production, videography, and more. As a singer, Danny released her debut single, Queen, back in August 2020, and it's a dark pop hit with a powerful, seductive vibe. Queen has racked up more than 1,000 streams on YouTube and Spotify since it was released and has received overwhelmingly positive reviews on Underground Music Collective and Nashville.com. If you missed part one of the interview, check out episode 55, where she shared her thoughts on building a positive musician mindset, networking tips, and sync licensing. In this episode, she offers advice about what sort of content to share on Instagram. By the way, her Instagram profile looks terrific. You should definitely check it out. Thoughts on email marketing. And we talk about her 17-hour marathon recording session from her debut pop single.
Kind of scared of like what the world would think of the song that was like a sexual song when I'm like this business mogul, like professional music industry boss. And so it took a lot of courage for me to finally say, you know what? I'm going to release this because...
But first, cue the intro music.
This is the Producer Life Podcast with your host, The House Ninja. Bringing you actionable ideas to improve your music and get it heard.
Sort of tying this back to music industry mastery. So you've got this aspect of the business that's consulting where you're talking about mindset and interpersonal skills. You've got the sync licensing aspect where you're connecting people to industry professionals that may be able to handle licensing deals. What other sorts of things does music industry mastery bring to the table for developing artists?
Sure. So I have like a whole team of vendors. So I have PR people, I have people that do like playlist pitching for organic people, not fake. I have people that can write artist bios, that can do photo shoots, that can do music videos, that can do music production, that can do top lining, that can do lyric videos, that can do websites, that can do album cover design. So we're pretty much like a one-stop shop, and like my vendors are kind of all over the country, as well as social media advertising. We also started doing animated music videos because we work with someone that does custom animations. Like he custom draws it, like hand draws it. So, I mean, we can do a lot of things. Like we're definitely a one-stop shop.
Okay. So an artist could come to you, sign up for a consulting call, and then you can refer them to other industry experts based on, hey, we need help with marketing, we need help with branding, whatever it is, wherever the artist is, you kind of meet them there and then bring partners to the table.
Yeah. And that's also for producers as well. I mean, a lot of people need help with the business side and just understanding like the brand side and like the messaging and like, how are they going to attract their ideal clients? Who are their ideal clients? How much are they going to charge? What are their prices? Do they have packages? Do they have a website set up? Do they have samples of their music set up? Do they have a YouTube channel? Are they putting out constant content on Instagram or YouTube or TikTok? Where are they driving their traffic from? How often are they posting? Do they have an email list? Are they doing giveaways? Do they have lead magnets? I mean, there's so many different things that producers need to think about, you know, as a business and just valuing themselves and client testimonials, etc. I mean, it's just running a business. So anything with like business, I can definitely help with, as well as pricing, branding, all of that. So yeah. And then okay. they also need like demo singers or like need to like I helped this one producer find him like 20 singers, which he ended up choosing a few out of, but basically I curated a list for him so that he could hire singers to sing on his track. So that's another really thing I could help with if like producers want to find like female vocalists for R&B, pop, soul, EDM. Like I said, I have an email list. So if they're looking to hire singers for that, I can send an email blast out and then I can send a curated playlist of songs or singers, and they can be like, oh, I really like this artist. I want to work with this person. Well, I need a top liner to do X, Y, Z. So, yeah.
Okay, awesome. And so let me kind of address two of the points that you mentioned there. You talked specifically about Instagram, and you also talked a little bit about digital marketing, things like email, both of which, as I was looking at your profiles online, you know, you have an amazing Instagram. It is highly curated. Almost every photo on there has professional photo shoot. It looks amazing. What are your thoughts about what artists should be sharing online on their social media profiles? And there's a camp that says, hey, you should sort of personalize yourself and show people that you're just like they are. But then there's also this camp of, hey, we want to be really professional and high end and emulate the big name artists that we're aspiring to be. What are your thoughts on the types of content people should share on their social media profiles?
I would say for your wall, like your posts, your feed, I mean, I would do professional photos. And then for like more like your stories, it can be more like behind the scenes footage. Here's me in the studio playing guitar. Here's me in the studio songwriting. Here's me traveling to X place on the plane or in a car. Here's me shopping at wherever. Here's me at a restaurant. I mean, stories are really to use as a tool to help people and fans really get to know you as an artist or producer. So I would use it more to really tell them stories and be more unfiltered. And then with the feed, I would definitely do more professional photos because that's first impression. Most people will see your feed before your stories. So if they're scrolling through and they see like photos that like are really dark, like you can't, like there's not a lot of lighting, things are blurry, things are not cropped right, you have random things in the background, people will 100% judge that stuff. So making sure you come off as professional is extremely important, and that will help you a lot with people investing in your brand as a producer or an artist. Like, you need to value yourself and say, what would my favorite artist do? Would they do stuff unprofessional? Probably not. You need to be like your own boss.
Okay. But the stories, you feel like that's a better venue for behind the scenes and sort of more casually connecting.
And highlights. Because you can create all these highlights. So you can make a story behind the scenes, and then you can have a behind the scenes highlight icon where they click behind the scenes, and then you can have all these stories that are saved there that are behind the scenes, for an example, or songwriting, or studio, or live shows, or whatever.
Where do you feel like Instagram Reels fits into that picture?
I would say Instagram Reels would be similar to TikTok, so very short content, and apparently Instagram really wants people to use that feature. So I think you actually have a higher chance of being seen if you use the Reels more than anything, but definitely use all of it together. I like the Reels option because it's like short content, and I feel like people have such short attention span these days. But then the IGTV is great when you want to have like long form content. And so it just depends on what you're trying to do with the content, but the Reels could get like attention very, very fast, which is cool.
Okay. Another area of sort of business that I've been interacting with you and I've been really impressed is you are a prolific emailer, and you deliver a lot of value with your emails. They're just about every few days I get an email from you, but it's usually an opportunity. You know, it's something mm-hmm. that I, as a producer, am interested in seeing. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to me a little bit about email strategy for musicians? And I noticed you use ConvertKit. Any thoughts on ConvertKit versus other email platforms?
First of all, I'd love to give everyone a link to my ConvertKit if they want to try it out. It's amazing. And yeah, I switched from that, from MailChimp to ConvertKit, and I just like, I feel like I've had higher open rates for some reason. It just looks more professional, and I don't know, I like the back end better for some reason. But as far as professional emails, yeah, a lot of artists that I talk to like don't have email lists, and they're not collecting data, like they're not collecting information on who they're talking to on their Instagram. And so if Instagram shut down, they would kind of be in trouble because they wouldn't be able to really reach them. So I always recommend people to have email lists. They don't have to email as often as I do. And sometimes I think like I'm annoying people because I send so many emails. But I used to not. But then I realized that people don't usually buy unless they hear from you a lot. I think it's 7 times at least. So then I realized I need to retrain my audience to be used to getting emails and me selling things versus me just showing up once in a while, and really try to filter my audience so that the people that really want to hear from me are on my list, and the people that just want opportunities but actually are annoyed can leave. And that's kind of what it's done. And I don't care if someone unsubscribes anymore. I used to be like, oh no, I offended someone, but you know, I really want my true fans on my list. I really want the people that really want to hear from me all the time. You know, and if they don't and they just wanted to get free stuff from me, like they probably will unsubscribe, and that's totally fine. But having an email list is super important, and having content to give your audience is super important. You could be like, hey, and subscription models also are a huge thing now these days as well. But just like giving people exclusive access to you, having stuff to give away, you could be like, hey, sign up for my list, you get discounts on my merch. Hey, sign up for my list, you get behind the scenes footage no one else gets. Hey, sign up for my list so you can be updated. Because like on social media, you're not really seeing that much anyway unless you're paying for advertising, you know, and your email list is the one thing you have control over. You're choosing who you're sending it to. You're setting up your list, you're collecting the emails, so it's your most valuable asset for sure.
I get the feeling that because your emails are time sensitive for opportunities, most of yours are manual emails. Do you also use email campaigns and funnels and that sort of thing to introduce people to your brand, or is most of your focus right now on sort of manually emailing your followers based on time sensitive opportunities?
I highly recommend having email campaigns set up. I did at one point when I started for my online course that I set up, the Artist Plugin Program. But, you know, I realized that I wasn't getting a lot of engagement with these like canned email templates. And I think it was because I hired someone to write them. So people like knew it wasn't my voice. And I think it sounded like too professional. So it wasn't like they weren't resonating with my brand. And even though I think sometimes I do spelling errors and stuff and grammar issues, people just like authenticity. And so when I started just being myself in email, they could feel my passion, they could feel my excitement, they can feel my like, yeah, let's do this kind of attitude. And I think that's really what drew them. So I would like to also create more canned email templates, but I would want to definitely make it more my voice so that it's not, it doesn't feel like so inauthentic, if that makes sense.
It does. And it sounds like your email advice kind of boils down to be yourself in your email, whether that's contacting regularly or whether it's not. But ultimately, your fans are going to self-filter. The ones that that aren't interested in what you're doing are going to leave, and the remainder are going to stay around and be engaged. So,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. You only want your super fan. You only want the people that are your true fans anyway. Like, they don't care. Why should you care? You know, like you want the people that really care, the people that will support you. And I can't tell you the amount of times I've gotten emails back just like, Danny, thank you so much for always sending your emails. I love your emails. Your emails make my day. Like your emails are great. I love your positivity. Danny, keep going, you know, and that's like amazing. So that's the kind of thing that people would hope for.
Yeah, the positivity and the energy is certainly infectious. And so it's it's important to bring that out. So talking about fans, you know, you are not only in the music business and music consulting industry, but you are also a musician in your own right. You're a you're a singer, you're a singer-songwriter. You've shifted recently into pop with your release in 2020. Can you talk about Queen?
Yeah, I worked on Queen last year, the year before now, And it took me like a year to actually get the courage to release it because I just was kind of scared of like what the world would think of this song that was like a sexual song when I'm like this business mogul, like professional music industry boss. And so it took a lot of courage for me to finally say, you know what, I'm going to release this, because the reactions I got when I showed it to people before it was released from women were like so inspired. Like they were so empowered and inspired and like, Danny, this is so awesome. Like, this is amazing. I want you to release this song. And so the feedback I got kind of made me realize I was just being in my own way, you know, and we get in our own way a lot. We self-sabotage a lot subconsciously. And I was just self-sabotaging. I was like, no, I can't release this song. And then I finally did. And people really, really, really resonated with the song. Every time I show people the song, people are like, this is so cool. Like, this is awesome. Like, they really, really love it. So, yeah,
it was cool. it is an awesome song. I'll absolutely have it linked in the show notes. I know I've played it a couple times on my live stream. And I love your elevator speech for how to describe it. You say, if Imagine Dragons and Lorde had a baby. Mm-hmm. I think that is terrific. You know, artists need a way to concisely describe their sound. And I mm-hmm. think that really captures it. You did a great job there.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's a great song. I really like it. So what was the inspiration for that song?
My friend showed me one of his songs. And for some reason, after I heard it, I just started writing a song. It was really weird. Like, it was such a cool EDM pop song. And it inspired me to start working on another song.
Now, did the lyrics or the melody come first? And then, of course, you worked with a producer to actually bring the lyrics to life. But what was sort of the process for Queen?
I wrote the melody and lyrics first, and then they had to come up with an instrumental to match it. And then we end up writing the bridge. I think it was the bridge or the chorus. I think it was the bridge at the studio, like on the hours we're recording. So it was really crazy.
Okay. Do you have any favorite moments from that process of working with the producer? Anything that really sticks out in your mind?
Yeah, I worked with the Invisible Heroes. They're in Nashville. And they just really helped me. Like, there was just so many layers of vocals. And like, I think that was the hardest part, was recording like all of these layers and background vocals. And it was just really cool to see him like bring that out of me. And I recorded in their basement, so I wasn't in a studio per se. So I wasn't next to them. They were like upstairs directing me through like headphones. So I was like by myself, like in this like darker space recording, so I could like get in the vibe of this song. And that was also really interesting.
Hmm. So what did they do that really brought out your best vocal performance?
That's a really good question. It's hard to think of at the moment, but they just had me do like a million takes.
Okay. Quality through quantity.
Yeah, we recorded for 2 days in a row. So it was like 17 hours of recording. It was like the hardest thing I've ever done.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many takes do you think you did, and then how many layers of vocals did they wind up using? Do you know?
I think a lot. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But I think it's definitely the longest thing I've ever done recording wise. Like, it was a lot for my voice, you know. 2 days and yeah. Itself, like 17 hours of recording or 16 hours. It was a lot. And the next song I just did was only 4 hours, so I'm learning.
Yeah, I don't know how you would keep your voice fresh for that period of time, but
yeah.
It turned out great, whatever they did. You know, I've always felt like if you get enough takes, if you develop enough ideas for songs, if you take enough pictures, some of them are going to wind up good. And that's sort of the quality through quantity approach.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You've got a lot of things that you're juggling between the connections and your music business and consulting and your personal music. I assume, like most people, you haven't been performing much this year. As we start to get the pandemic under control in 2021, how do you see your time shifting? Is your focus going to be on your music consulting, or is it going to shift more back to performances and your music career, or what's in the future for you?
That's a great question. I definitely am going to focus more on my music and writing a lot more music. I started writing one song. Well, I've just recorded one song that I'm trying to get in a film. So cross my fingers on that. And then I have another song that I'm working on with my friend that I want to be one of my next singles. But then I also have another song that I still haven't released yet that's done. But I'm kind of trying to line up more content before I just release another song. Because with Queen, I only had one song done. Well, two technically, but I didn't have any more. So now I want to just like keep building and recording and making a lot more content so that when I do release my next song, I have like a bunch of content to be able to do afterwards. And it's not just like people are waiting like 3 more months.
What do you mean by content? Things like lyric videos and cover art and stuff surrounding the song? Or you just mean a series of songs so that you're releasing on a regular basis?
I mean, just having more music.
Okay.
Because all my stuff has been older, so creating new stuff is like, I just created one that's like a super piano ballad, totally different from Queen. And then I have Gone, which we haven't released yet, which is like more like an Avicii track. It's like pop, EDM, folk.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
And then this other song I'm working on called Liar with my friend Austin is like more dark pop, so more similar to Queen. But I think we're also going to be featuring a rapper on it, or he's going to rap on it or something like that. I'm not 100% sure yet. We still need to work it out. But yeah, my goal is to definitely create a lot more music. I also would love to be featured on more tracks as well. That would be really fun. But the sync licensing world, I'm super focused on as well, and just building relationships with a lot of people in the sync world, as well as doing more sync events. I'd like to do like monthly sync events. Like I'm trying to do 2 events this month. I just did one. I'm trying to do another one on the 28th. And then also focusing a bit on the consulting stuff as well, just depending on what artists need. Like we're always open to work with new artists for sure. But then I also have a TV show that I can't talk too much about yet, but we also just filmed the pilot for that. So when that gets picked up somewhere, that will also depend on how much time I have to spend developing or creating episodes for that, for whatever we end up doing with that. So there's a lot of question marks at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. But a lot of exciting opportunities.
Yeah. 100%.
Okay. Well, we'll have to have you back on the show after the, television show gets picked up. I'd love to talk to you about that whenever you're able.
Yes. I actually created a vision board for Netflix because I really wanted it on Netflix. So I actually photoshopped it in Canva where it looks like my show is on Netflix, and it's so cool. And so I highly recommend if anyone wants to like work with a certain producer or artist to photoshop it so you can visually see it on Canva. It's like a free editing program, and that will really help you visualize what you want to bring into your life so much easier.
Visual goal setting. I love it. That's great.
Yeah, it's super, super helpful.
Okay, terrific. Well, where can people find more about you online for both the music side of the house and also your consulting business?
They can find me on Music Industry Mastery is my Instagram. Danny Felt Music is my Instagram. DannyFelt.com is my website. DannyFeltMusic.com is my website. So I would say those.
That's terrific. I can certainly hear that consistency in branding.
Right. And then my email is danny@dannyfelt.com.
Okay, perfect. And if they would like to jump on that Zoom call with the Fast and Furious Sync Licensing, mm-hmm. January 28th, what time is that?
I think it's 7:30 Central, 5:30 PST. But yeah, I'm gonna double check that one. But have them email me if they want, and I can tell them more about the prices and all of that jazz.
Okay, perfect. I will make sure to do that. And again, I really appreciate your time today. Thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
Here are my key takeaways from part two of the interview. First, there are many different ways to share on Instagram. Danny recommends reserving the feed for more professional content while sharing behind the scenes and more casual content on stories. Second, email lists are important. We've talked about this several times in the past, especially back in episode 12 with Wade Sutton. Danny likes ConvertKit for its professional look, and she recommends sending regular emails, in her case several times each week, to get people used to hearing from you. The people who aren't your fans will leave, but the ones who remain are really interested in what you're doing. Always seek to deliver value in those emails, though. Offer free stuff, discounts on merch, upcoming announcements. The last thing you want to do is come across as spammy. Your email should also be in your voice. Make it natural so that it conveys who you are. Third, if you're struggling with a particular area of your music business and you just don't have the time or skill to handle it, think about outsourcing it. Danny's team at Music Industry Mastery can help with PR, playlist pitching, artist bios, photo shoots, music videos, top lines, websites, album cover designs, animated music videos, and of course, sync licensing opportunities. Which brings me to the last point. This Thursday, January 28th, Danny only has a couple of spots left for a virtual meetup with music supervisor Paul Stewart, who's worked on Fast and Furious 2, Snowfall, Hustle and Flow, Insecure, and more. So if you think you might be interested in sync, check out the link in the show notes for episode 56 to register. That is an affiliate link, by the way, but it doesn't cost you anything. It just helps to support the podcast. That's it for this week. If you're enjoying the podcast, please spend a moment leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. That would be a huge help in continuing to grow the Producer Life podcast family. Until next week, this is the House Ninja reminding you to be somebody's hero today.